You may never have heard of the Otis Intelligence Group. They're a technology startup from Sydney who have been around for less than 2 years and who specialize in spatial analysis. They saw media reporting about residents living near the WestConnex project earlier this year and became interested.
There was a lot of articles and news piece on TV about damage to homes and how residents were not even investigated for compensation because they were falling outside of the 50 meters, for example. So we felt that it would be interesting to see if the data collected could give us any indication that it could help people.
Founder and managing director Mark Beaudry and his colleagues decided to analyze data from the German Element 8 incubator, which, since 2008, has been orbiting Earth, taking satellite images over Sydney every 11 days. By analyzing the data, they could examine movements in the Earth dating back as long as the satellite was operational. When they took a look at buildings and zones surrounding the $17 billion WestConnex project over the last 3 years,
in a lot of cases, we saw a very, very sharp change, like there would be no movement, and then all of a sudden, it would be a drop of 20, 30 millimeters in the span of 2 months. And then when we look at the WestConnex documentation, we found out that there was actually tunneling around that same period of time.
The analysis by Otis shows that the ground is subsiding in areas directly near places that tunneling has occurred for Australia's biggest infrastructure project. Based on their analysis, some of the ground in these areas has subsided by over 50 millimetres. These findings are consistent with claims made by residents near the tunneling zones that their homes have been subsiding and, in some cases, their walls cracking and moving. These residents were given a 50-metre area that may be affected in some way by tunnelling. But Mark Beaudry says Otis work shows subsiding far beyond that.
We found movement well beyond the 50 metres, in some cases up to the 300 metres away from the tunnel. And as far as the level of movement, we found areas with 60, 70, 80 millimetres of movement, especially near St. Peter's area.
These profound impacts on the Earth have been a concern that activists and critics of the project have long been worried about. Pauline Lockie is an independent councillor sitting on the Inner West Council and has previously run the WestConnex Action Group. She says she has been unsurprised by the level of damage caused by the tunnelling.
It doesn't surprise me in the sense that we always knew, and by we I mean the community impacted by WestConnex, always knew that what the government was telling us, what the WestConnex project contractors were telling us, that the zone that would be most impacted would be restricted to 50 metres around construction sites and tunnelling routes, was always super arbitrary and way, way too small.
Despite the strong views of many in the community, claims of damage caused by the project have been hard to prove and scarcely touched on by members of the government. Mark Beaudry says that Otis analysis now shows clear-cut links between WestConnex tunnelling and ground subsidence.
We were surprised at how clear-cut it was. When you look at an image from space and you look at an area of 600 square kilometer and you can see two straight lines that show that there's definitely, you know, like everything was pretty much green on the map, green showing a stable ground, and then there was lines that were straight lines that were showing yellow or orange, which means it shows movement. And then when we overlaid the footprint of the tunnel, it was exactly on top of it. So it was pretty clear-cut.
The definitive nature of Otis analysis gives some hope to residents attempting to claim compensation from WestConnex contractors. Many residents in areas such as St. Peter's, Haberfield and Strathfield have claimed that cracking observed in their homes is a direct result of WestConnex tunnelling. Councillor Pauline Lockie, whose own home was compulsorily acquired to make way for the project, says that many residents have legitimate claims for compensation from contractors.
So people have had really legitimate claims to make, and in every single case that I'm aware of, they've been turned down by the government and the project contractors and had the damage blamed on pretty much everything else you can think of. Often it's dry weather, so they'll blame the drought, but I have heard of one particular case in Beverly Hills where they actually blamed damage that occurred to two neighbouring properties, really severe damage, on a dripping garden tap that had shifted the groundwater and conditions underneath their homes.
However, it has appointed a minister responsible, Stuart Ayres, to oversee the government's role in the project. Councillor Lockie thinks the state government have more of a role to play in helping residents whose homes may have been damaged by the project.
It's built part of Stuart Ayres' responsibility. He is the minister for WestConnex. He needs to step in here.
But the minister told Razor's Edge in a statement that
we are closely listening to the community about their concerns and want to assure everyone the contractor will be held accountable for any damage they have caused to properties. RMS has established a review process independent of the contractor. I am waiting to receive the result of that review, and I want to assure the community I will move swiftly as soon as I do. I want to be very clear. If the contractor has caused the damage, they will pay to fix it.
Councillor Lockie and other residents impacted by WestConnex are calling on Minister Ayres to play more of a role in helping them deal with the fallout of the project.
I know residents have also been writing to him directly when they keep being stonewalled by the project contractors who are supposedly going to pay up for this damage. When the contractors have refused to do so, they've written to the ministers and got a very, hands-off approach. Like, look, it's up to them. This is what I've been told by the contractors. It's up to you to negotiate. And I don't think that's good enough.
With a state election campaign into the business end, some Inner West candidates have been campaigning on changes to the current plight of the WestConnex project. Councillor Pauline Lockie commended Greens candidates Jenny Leong and Jamie Parker for their stance to halt WestConnex immediately. But in regards to the Labor opposition, who are currently sitting at 50-50 in the opinion polls,
the Labor Party, I think, have always been rather disappointing when it comes to WestConnex, because particularly at local level, they always say they're opposed to it. And they have made some good commitments in terms of promising to hold a judicial inquiry into the project if they're elected. But at local level, they essentially have said for years that while they're in opposition, there's nothing they can do. And now their position is, well, the contracts have already been signed for construction. There's nothing we can do to stop what's underway. And I think there's a lot more that they could do as a government to review those contracts and really see if that's the case.
With the election looming and construction to continue for years to come, Councillor Lockie hopes that Otis' analysis of ground subsidence will be a wake-up call for all parties involved in the administration of WestConnex.
I would certainly hope that this would be, if nothing else, the thing that makes the New South Wales government and WestConnex project contractors actually take responsibility for the damage that they're causing to people's properties.